The smallest light shines in the darkest night. There was a time in my life when I felt it wasn't safe to be myself anymore. Secluded and tucked away deep beneath an armored coat, not allowing anyone to venture too close. I began to detach at an early age. Expectations, ownership, and entitlement set the stage. My journey began with an excruciating race to a safe, peaceful, nurturing place. I was the only one out of millions to survive. Thanks to God, I am alive. My mother had me at the age of 17. I'm her firstborn. She means the world to me. She and I will never grow apart. The memories in her spirit will always dwell in my heart. Get your dirty behind off that couch. And what I tell you about tracking dirt through this house. Boy, check your shoes. Did you step in some dog doo-doo? Tough skin jeans, bubblegum tennis shoes, nappy hair. If my tube socks didn't match, I didn't care. Innocent, lovable, vibrant, carefree, the genuine me. It wasn't easy separating me from my mother's side. Each morning she fixed me a bowl of cereal before sneaking off to work to keep me from crying. It didn't take long to catch on that she was gone. Like a distressed little bird anticipating its mother's return to the nest, anxiety stormed my comfort zone, depressed as hours seemed to drag on. But whenever my mother came home, anyone in my path took the risk of being trampled on. My father was present, but in his own way. I knew he really cared about me, he just never had a whole lot to say. A lot of his time was spent watching gunslinging westerns on TV or hanging with his drinking buddies. 2 months before my second birthday, my brother arrived. A mini me, my partner for life. Where one went, the other would go. Damn, I should have been a better role model. Standing on a small San Francisco project porch, I could not have been much older than 4. My mother had misplaced her key. She and I knocked on the door repeatedly. Eventually, my father peered through the bedroom window above the door. He didn't say a word. It was obvious he was drunk. I've seen him like this before. Will you let us in? Are you going to open the door? I have the kids with me, my mother pled. Still, no sound, just a smirky frown. Several minutes passed before the door swung open and my mother was slung inside. The door slammed in our face. My brother and I were left standing horrified. I could hear sounds like my mom being thrown around and the living room lamp crashing down. There was a moment of silence. The person I saw as a matriarch and treated me with unconditional love muscled up enough strength to open the door and cradle my brother and I in her arms. I saw the hurt and tears roll from her eyes. Shock, fear, and anger would not let me cry. I was too young and confused to process the hurt. Like a cat bagged up in a corner, a young hyena or a lion cub. That day, I experienced my first taste of blood. I grew overly protective whenever I was away, at school, my grandparents, or out to play. I discreetly scanned our home looking for confirmation that mom's was all right. My face against the living room window each time she left until she was out of sight. I've been told I'm meticulous, that I pay attention to the finest things. Is this something I was born with, or is it a psychological thing? My grandparents' place was my home away from home. Uncles, aunts, cousins, siblings, and friends. The atmosphere of a sitcom. Good times, the Little Rascals, and Saffron and Son. We had a lot of laughs. My grandparents' homes were the best times I had. Self-employed, Grandpa's was a hard-working provider. Out before the birds with his prized possession. An old scrap-on truck, blowtorch, a can of sardines, and saltine crackers. He didn't have much, but it was enough. Every cent went towards my granny and the kids. Their doors were always open if you were down on your luck, needed a meal, a place to live, or a couple of bucks. My grandfather was outspoken and possessed a lot of wisdom. With only a third-grade education, he was our hero. My grandmother touched everyone's heart. She was quite the matriarch behind the scene. church services and family gatherings meant everything, aside from the soap operas, red beans, black-eyed peas, cornbread, and collard greens. My grandparents were together forever. They taught me what family wholesomeness is all about. Maybe this explains why I reminisce and stress over loved ones a whole lot. Growing up, I loved playing outside. Rise and shine. I'm out the door as soon as sunrise. Mud pies, tag, red light, green light. Sitting on a single metal skate, rolling reckless with no brakes. Cardboard under the backside, sliding down dusty hillsides. A hard head makes a soft behind. By the third time, I learned not to disturb beehives. Bicycles manufactured like a piece of art. Compliments of the scrap metal yard. The street lights warned us to be in before dark. As we got a little older, we were allowed to stay out a little longer, but no further than the front porch. I love my dog. He's my best friend. He doesn't allow anyone too close to me, regardless if you're just playing. He could sense me coming a mile away. Hysterically persistent to lick me all over my face. Winding through some brush, we stumbled on an 1890 silver dollar. It was the first I've seen of this kind, the discovery of a lost treasure in everyone's eyes. Look what my boy found. I got a lot of attention while experiencing the value of a dollar. Could this possibly have been the beginning of my problems? We eventually moved out of the projects into our first home. Pops was hired by PG&E, but it wasn't for long. He and a so-called drinking partner were at odds. Conflicts over work duties caused him his job. We grew up more so like brother and sister. Born a year apart of each other, my brother, youngest uncle, myself and aunt, and a much older uncle, we play fought a lot. Amongst the neighborhood kids, there were always some sort of competition. Survivor of the fittest, may the best man win. In elementary, he was perceived to be the king of my grade, the toughest around. I've seen my share of Westerns. There's always the threat of a new sheriff coming to town. It was a simple game of kickball until Eagles got involved. I was running into home plate when he aggressively sprung up in my face. I wasn't in a good space. Unresolved anger and terror bottled up inside. Didn't hesitate to sit him on his backside. Receiving positive reinforcement for a negative act. Over the years, I got into many altercations for that pat on the back and to mask the social skills that I lacked. Unique, outgoing, pleasant on the eyes. We were in the sixth grade when she first caught my eye. She was walking towards the front of the cafeteria line. New at school, but definitely not shy. Bashful, self-conscious, no mouthpiece. I was unable to formulate words to speak. I became jealous, envious, whenever I saw her engaged in a conversation with a guy other than me. But it was destiny. She knew neighbors of a friend of mine. We were on his front porch hanging out when surprisingly she stepped outside. Stage fright, petrified of the spotlight. It was my friend that broke the ice. The next time you see her, tell her I like her and that I said hi. Eventually she approached me. All along she had eyes for me too. I didn't have a clue the feelings were mutual. Each morning we met at the rear entrance before class. After school we occasionally walked together for a few blocks. On any other day, there was an old boarded up church that we usually passed right by. But on this day, she spontaneously pulled me inside the doorway, wrapped her arms around my waist, and asked me to close my eyes. I placed my hands at her hips. She pulled in closer and gave my very first kiss on the lips. I felt my knees weaken. I was shocked and mesmerized. She winked an eye as she turned and said goodbye. A few days later, I was taken by surprise. She brought some marijuana to school and asked did I want to get high. I would have done just about anything to impress her. Perpetrating to be grown, I gave it a try. After graduation, we transferred to separate schools, eventually growing apart, but not before she broke my heart. She and a friend were enrolled in the same school. He told me he saw my girlfriend behind some bleachers kissing another dude. I kept my composure, but was tore up inside. My ego refused to let him see my vulnerable side. I questioned my self-worth. What is wrong with me? Am I not good enough? Is it my appearance or my insecurities? Coincidentally, years later, as a young adult, I was booked into the substation the second time I confiscated the same mysterious ring from my high school sweetheart. I could always count on Grandpop's comfort. Don't worry, boy. If you miss one bus, another one is coming. 2 years earlier, my sister was born. Being responsible for her is when I generally began to feel grown. By 13, every day I would pick her up from preschool. Our walk home were big brother and little sister intimate times. Don't talk to strangers. Wait until the red light turns green. Be sure to look both ways before crossing the streets. Is she your sister? She's so pretty. She's so cute. Do you have an older brother? My sister and I broke the no talking to strangers rule. I was beginning to get the kind of attention I thought I was missing. Tissue stuffed in the toes of our shoes because we outgrew them fast. A handful of candy in grade school was the same as having a pocket full of cash. Attire wasn't an issue until junior high. I was in a new arena. The bar was raised several notches higher. In a society that feeds the desire for more and more, I wasn't content. I was uncomfortable sitting in class wearing the same old outfits. $50 to $60 for a Jerry Curl or out for an $8 home kitty kit. I hid my emotion behind a mask, started skipping classes, and found myself amongst the delinquents. If someone hits you, you hit them back. Suspended from summer school, taught to react. When I arrived home, I was accosted, hemmed up, and slapped. When I get older, I'm going to get his ass back. Remember, he's your father. Don't think like that. In between jobs, subsidized by the state. Fumbling around in the dark, unable to see my hand in front of my face. Pacific Gas and Electric refused to negotiate. A candlelit home lit up like a birthday cake. Real life staring me in the face. Blowing herbs, trying to escape. I tried it once before and didn't feel the effect. I took another risk, but this time it wasn't as easy to quit. Mom's new job couldn't have come at a better time. Working for an expensive clothing line, she put food on the table and dressed me in some of the best that money can buy. Like a magnet, instantly I was the center of attraction, subconsciously disconnecting from self, chasing affection and superficial wealth, flattery, fame, sex, material things. I was addicted to these things. Hook, line, and sinker, my teeth dug in deeper and deeper. One after another, no one would sustain. Deception, rejection, extra affairs, the end results were the same. The sunshine was fading away. The sky is cloudy and gray. I held on to resentment and blame, losing faith in Cupid, a womanizer I became. Unbeknownst to the women I met, I entered relationships with assumptions and prerequisites. I was playing by a different set of rules, embarking on a dark path, desiring more and more, my eyes fixated on respect, a pedestal. Or was I striving for control? Caught up in a whirlwind, agitating with the seven deadly sins, my feet were planted too deep in, blind to the extended hand, subconsciously digging myself into a hole, headed towards a dead end. A part-time summer youth job, occasionally working for a little pocket change, mowing lawns, straddling the fence, the conscience says do right. Foreclosure hit like a flaming cocktail in the middle of the night. Legitimate options weren't tipping the scale. I wasn't always an angel, nor did I surface from the depths of hell. How could it be? Coercion or mistaken identity? Never in my life had I seen him before. Security from the Golden Gate Theater accused me of scalping them stolen tickets to an opera show. Who will they believe? The victim was sure it wasn't me. Young and naive, lost in a shark-infested sea, kicking and hollering. I argued my case for 9 months before I was compelled to cop to a plea. Unable to foresee what life had in store, while serving 13 months on a 2-year term in youth authority, I was dealt a devastating blow. My mother's latest job was with the Oakland Naval Supply. She was out on a long sick leave before an examination revealed the life-threatening reason why. At 37, she fought her biggest fight with a terminal illness that ultimately took her life. I was watching TV in the recreation area when out of the ordinary, a counselor pulled me off to the side. "Please, God, let my mama be all right." Like a landslide, it felt as though my chest had collapsed on the inside. I tried to be strong and not let my peers see me cry, but the loss of my mother was too much for me to hold inside. The hardest thing was not being at her side. As I wiped the tears from my face, I began slipping into a bitter space. Guilty until proven innocent. When will it change? I felt guilty and placed blame for the additional stress she sustained. I came home at 20 years old, legally grown. Three generations was living at my grandparents' home. My mother and I were like twins. I could feel everyone's energy watching me from deep within. Pregnant with me at the time, my mother, my father, and many of her family members migrated from Louisiana to the Golden State. Following my mother's death, my pop struggled to maintain on his own. My grandparents provided him with shelter, but with little monetary support, he contemplated on returning back home. Throughout my entire life, my grandparents were there for me in many ways. Although they weren't well off, as long as they were around, I was ensured a place to stay. Ever since I was young, I wanted to be grown. No one had to tell me I was outgrowing the nest and would eventually need to carry the weight of my own. I was ready to deal with life on life terms. A lesson to be learned. Fast money, flamboyant, he was once poor. Ghetto fabulous, stunning through the neighborhoods advertising the crash course. The mid-80s drug epidemic was sweeping through the ghettos like a hailstorm. A new era and offsprings were being born. Distributions, retributions, lives were being torn. As a kid, I heard it being referred to as a rich man high. Could the seed have been planted many years before I gave it a try? Cocaine laced in weed, commonly known as Grimmies. It breaks up homes, will strip you for everything you own. Have you feeling like you're King Kong while displaying a supernatural extraterrestrial? It wasn't long before I was offered the suicide kit from a childhood associate I used to smoke weed with. I'm too strong. I'll never become addicted. It was hell for me trying to quit. Yesterday and tomorrow didn't exist. I lost my objective. I was struggling to survive for just one more hit. One is too many, and 1,000 is never enough. Like many, I threw my life away testing my luck. Who knows me better than I know myself? My biggest problem was I could never ask for help. Today, Grandpa's words ring loud and subtle. I'm telling you now, ain't nothing out there at night but trouble. 1986, a year I'll never forget. Shackled at the waist and shoes as I rolled on what was dubbed the Grey Goose. It was a long, tedious trip. I'd hit the bottom of the pit. The end of the world, where many lost souls and spirits had dwelled for over a century. Since 1885, California's Folsom State Penitentiary. As the Grey Goose departed from the county jail, my head swiveled from left to right, right to left, trying to capture the memories. Not sure if I ever see my family, friends, or that place I'm from again. I received a blessing early on. My only child was born. Her mother and my long distant relationship was off and on. My love and faith was tested when her son was later born. Several years into the sentence, a page came over the PA system. I was to report to the counselor's office for an emergency call. Anxiety, suspended breaths, as I walked through the corridor. My family placed emergency calls to the facility every day for weeks. Staff hadn't previously mentioned anything to me. My granny, I never heard her raise her voice. The sweetest person you will ever meet. Within a couple of weeks, both she and my grandfather were deceased. Inseparable, unable to live apart. My grandfather's death is believed to be the results of a broken heart. Old-fashioned, fixed in his ways, a reflection of prehistoric days when the men went out hunting for food to feed their families. My fortitude, inspiration, my drive. They would sacrifice their lives for the sake of mine. No longer physically around, buried in the same plot, 6 feet beneath the ground. Disconnected from society, blindfolded, gagged, confined in darkness, ostracized, dehumanized, trivialized, stuck in time, oppression, distress, warehoused on a shelf, loneliness, grief, difficult to breathe, surviving solely on imagination, dreams, and memories. That's what incarceration is like for me. The world moved fast, 1,000 miles per hour as it passed, stagnated, consumed, twirling the hourglass, like the hub of a wheel or trying to push forward on a treadmill. Hurry up and wait as the world continues to rotate. Waking up has been frustrating, but not on this day. I'm pacing the floor listening for my name to be called. I'm expecting to be released today and haven't told anyone at all. I need to say my goodbyes, but it isn't easy for me to do. We share common experiences. We have walked in the same shoes. There's a special bond that places like this create. I'm going to miss everyone here once I'm on the other side of these gates. On the surface, everyone appears to be okay. But I know all too well the hurtful feeling of being left behind in this place. I took a final look around to absorb it all in. A great moment for me has a bittersweet end. At last, it's been a long time. I'm excited and grateful to finally be free. I would kiss the ground if there weren't so many people in the vicinity. Midsummer, there's not a cloud in the sky. 80 plus degrees, black hoodies with one arm tucked inside. A lot has changed since 1985. I had accomplished some personal goals, but still missing were important pieces of the puzzle, the roots to my struggle. Psychoanalysis, therapy, anything I say can and will be used against me. Persecuted, patronized, leery of vulnerability, I concealed intimacy, accountability, unaware of the significance of self-inventory. To hell and back, I thought I survived the raft, still in the grasp. Inhumane parole condition clamped down on the ankle, penetrating like a bear trap. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, kicking off the shoes and propping up the feet. My entire life I lived under someone else's roof, their rules, dictation, constantly telling me what I can and cannot do. My father returned to Louisiana within a year after my mother died. During the duration of my incarceration, we spoke once early on. You never realize how much you love someone until they're gone. I look forward to seeing him when I came home. The instant I heard his voice on the other end of the phone, there wasn't a doubt that he was extremely excited and relieved his son had made it home. Growing up, our bond wasn't as tight as it could have been. A lot of potential quality time was misspent. I remember him telling me when he was young, his father would have him carry 100-pound bags of cement. He taught me a lot being a self-skilled handyman. One thing for sure we had in common is the knack for repairing and building things. Parole restricted me to a 50-mile radius. Before I discharged, he passed away before I was able to go see him. Blind to his struggles, I judged him based on his troubles. Today, I hold him close to my heart. I've grown to realize he was subconsciously battling demons alone in the dark. Aside from his shortcomings, he had a good heart. My sister was his pride and joy. The very next day after my father died, I received a blessing in disguise. I was hired for an as-needed hazardous waste job at the old abandoned Hunters Point Naval Shipyard. The position was off and on, but finally I was earning an income. My attitude towards life changed. No longer did I feel disconnected and turned away by society. I shared my appreciation with just about everybody. Throughout life, there's hardship and struggles, enough to discourage anyone. An individual mindset will determine whether there's a positive or negative outcome. Like crabs in a bucket tugging at my back, every move I made, the more problems I faced. I had yet to establish a permanent place to live. Often, my automobile became my home on wheels. No consideration for an as-needed position. Child support services were very persistent. I managed my payments according to my income. With work being slow, I couldn't afford to pay the full amount each month. Notices were sent out. Freeze and seize the account. Stuck between a rock and hard place. Two different scenarios, same fate. In between my job when a gun was shoved in my face. Ambushed by four individuals and robbed of my savings. My goal was one far away. Within a few months or so, I had hoped to establish my first place. Self-sufficient. I became dependent on independence. I was moving at a decent pace prior to falling on my face. Having all the best intentions, seeking relief, I subconsciously gave myself petty permission. Relax, it's been years, only one time. I was in a tug of war with an old addiction of mine. It seemed to happen all in a flash. I took sobriety for granted. I lost sight of how detrimental self-medicating was in the past. Looking back, in actuality, the craving was brewing long before I relapsed. I made the classic mistake. After years of sobriety, I tricked myself in believing once would be okay. Distorted thinking, diverted dreams. As far back as I can remember, patriarchy was front and center. The controlling force, the mental measurement each time I fell short. 2011, San Francisco County Jail. Ironically, the beginning of a divine intervention. I would eventually crack the code of reinvention. For 6.5 months, I sat in idle before I was transferred out to the extended site. Prior to relocating, I was able to sober up and bring some clarity back into my life. Arriving at San Bruno, I was initially placed in the school pod. Having a high school diploma, I would eventually have a choice to make. Either enter one of the alternative programs or return back to the main county jail, a place where I can basically relax all day, watch TV, and be subjected to war stories for the duration of my stay. Life wasn't working out for me, so I decided to do something different. I stayed in school for 2 months until my diploma was confirmed. Aside from hazmat training, it's been a while since I sat in school, so I seized the opportunity to refresh my education. The desire and ambition carried over to my next destination. January of 2012, I was moved to an anti-violence program, Resolve to Stop the Violence Project, RSVP. Additional classes and workshops are offered within the program throughout the year. Restorative Justice Art Class, Performing Arts, Yoga Meditation, Substance Abuse, Parenting Class, Discharge Planning, etc. When I walked into the pod, I was entering a new environment and didn't know what to expect. All eyes were focused in on me, the new person. I scanned the surroundings searching for a familiar face, someone who can enlighten me on how the program operates. I came in with a poker face. Initially, I didn't smile or speak, conditioned not to show any signs of weakness. I was in an image to shield anxiety. Once I got situated, I sat in a group that was processing the incidents of violence. In the beginning, I was a little skeptical. I couldn't believe anyone could possibly know me better than I know myself. During the participant disclosure, the group basically freeze-framed, dissected, and categorized the behavior on the chalkboard as the violence escalated, beginning with core beliefs that broke down for the individual. It was like taking violence to the lab. I began hearing behaviors that were similar to my own. The curriculum was beginning to make a lot of sense to me. My antennas went up and my eyes began to open. Previously, I perceived violence as physically injuring someone. That day, I was beginning to understand the depths of emotional, verbal, physical, and sexual violence, empathy, accountability, and impact. How violence escalates, how I subconsciously set myself up to violate, and the many roles I play fueled by misbeliefs about what it takes to be a man. In retrospect, I was lost prior to entering the program. I've been looking out the window most of my life. In the past, I never fully grasped the concept, the process of going inside oneself. Change began for me when I decided to take inventory and was willing to explore my shortcomings. The things I need to work on, such as, why do I feel or react a certain way when things don't go my way? Why do I self-medicate? Why do I feel the need to violate, prove myself, get my point across, or get ahead? There was a lot I needed to learn about core beliefs, trauma, power dynamics, and communication. I have allowed deep embedded core issues and beliefs fuel negative behavior, subconsciously placing myself in a victim role. In the process, setting myself up to carry a heavy load. Resentment, fear, envy, entitlements, desire, control, shame, and placing blame. I was my own worst enemy. I would self-medicate to avoid my problems, suppress and shield my emotions behind a facade, jeopardize myself and others to stand out in the crowd. It's been over 3 years since I first walked into the pod. Through this entire process, I was able to identify behaviors and sources related directly to my livelihood. I was standing in my own way. I had become a lot of the negativity around me growing up, at home, in school, on TV, and in my community. Everyone wants to contribute to life so that their legacy can live on to generations to come. But sometimes the ego outgrows itself and jeopardizes others in the process. Without the awareness, my life would be incomplete. Today, I'm appreciated by many, and in return creates positive energy. A seed was planted a long time ago, blossoming into a lovable, vibrant soul. Once withered and scorned, reinvented, reformed, innocent as a newborn. A new journey begins. I've searched high and low trying to fit in. The treasure I was seeking all along was tucked away deep within.